What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials.
Happy Tuesday.
Oh my goodness.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast. This is just a Tuesday. You know, the last show we did was a Friday, and I felt like that Friday was very well deserved. This is a Tuesday that I just don't feel like I earned because I didn't do anything yesterday.
No, it's such a treat. We do deserve it because it's just so special to have a four-day work week.
So special.
And it really feels like a Monday, and I almost forgot that it was a Tuesday, and it's just so wonderful to hear that it is, in fact, Tuesday. And this week, I feel like it's just going to fly by.
Yeah, and you know what? It's like every time I do have the wonderful privilege of enjoying a four-day work week, which is a few times a year with the national holidays, it really just makes me realize, like, how fucked up the 5 and 2 day
ratio.
Schedule. It just doesn't work. And do you know that, you know, our mayoral race is coming up and Andrew Yang is running for mayor and he like is running
on his platform.
The 4 day work week.
Yeah, it's really something to think about.
Imagine a world like I feel like I've been dreaming about that like since I was a kid. But like imagine an actual world where it's 4 to 3. Like mm-hmm. That just makes so much sense.
No, I know. And we'll experience it this week and we'll let you know how it goes. But I have a feeling it's just going to be fabulous.
Fabulous.
Much like the long weekend. I had such a productive weekend and I have so many personal updates to share with the class.
You finished your cleanse, obviously.
I finished my cleanse. My last day was Saturday. And I just want to say I absolutely loved the cleanse. Like, overall, I would recommend if I ever found myself feeling this way again, like I would do it again, but not for a long time.
Well, can I say, like, after watching you do the cleanse and now Ben is doing it, I really feel like it's not a cleanse. Because, like, when you think cleanse, you think, like, 3 of those juices a day. Like, no, you can have those big, chunky, duty juices, but you can also have, like, fruits and veggies and, like, eggs. Like, it's not, it's, I feel like it's more of, like, a diet than a cleanse.
No, it's actually the opposite. Because you're cleansing, since you're only eating fruits, vegetables, and eggs and raw nuts, it's all, like, natural food. So you're cleansing your body of toxins.
No, I know, but I just mean in terms
of consumption. It's actually a literal cleanse. If anything, it's not a diet because consumption-wise, you can eat more fruits or there's no limit to
right,
how
but when
many
you say
you can
a cleanse,
eat.
It's like the Yolanda Hadid, like literally a juice a day, like no solid food. But you're actually Ben's eating a good amount of solid food.
But that doesn't make it not a cleanse. You're
still just
cleansing,
in my mind,
you're
it does.
Still cleansing your system.
In my mind, it makes it not a cleanse.
Okay, well, I don't know if your mind is like the authority.
It is definitely on cleanses, 100%.
So 100%. Ben's doing it now, and he called me last night, and he was just feeling fantastic. And I actually feel like as much as Claudia likes to talk big shit about this cleanse, like, I kid you not, I would put my, like, I wouldn't be surprised if in a few days you're like, I'm doing the cleanse.
Oh my God, no,
you
no,
have
no.
been so influenced by us.
No. I'm definitely shook that I tasted the spinach dip. What?
Smoothie.
And it really was not that bad. Like, I've always seen these people, like, put spinach in a blender. And to me, that's just absolutely disgraceful. Like, it's disgusting. But I guess Jackie really explained it to me, like, a few days ago. Like, when you put spinach and ice, like, in a blender, it doesn't become like spinach water, it just becomes like water.
No, because of the way that spinach is, when you blend it with water, it just becomes green water. Like, it doesn't have really a taste.
That was shocking to me. I just learned that.
But it has so many nutrients. So it's like so beneficial to do that in any smoothie that you're having because you're automatically just like having all these vitamins.
That makes sense. And I didn't know that. Now I know why all these people are always, like, not everyone likes spinach. Like, I just thought it was so wild, like, that people were doing that.
Yeah.
But it actually makes a lot of sense now.
It makes a lot of sense. A lot of people keep out. I post the book often, but people, like, I guess didn't screenshot it. It's the 10-Day Smoothie Cleanse by JJ Smith. Get the book on Amazon and or wherever you can find it. And read the book because it will understand and better, it will better explain the purpose of the cleanse better than I am capable of explaining. And I know you're just bursting.
You can't say buy this book on Amazon and have me not.
I know you're just bursting.
Plug my own book.
I even made Ben read the book because it's not enough to just say you do this. Like, it has all the recipes, all the reasons for why you're doing what you're doing. And if you, it's a really mentally tough thing to do. So you want to have as many reasons why you're doing it as possible. So overall, I'm so proud of myself that I did
it's
it.
A big
10
deal.
Days, you guys, apparently 10 days is the longest stretch of time on earth.
Like, I could have told you that.
It's so crazy.
100%.
And I feel like I've tried a few things like this before and I never stuck with it. And I think this is the first time I've actually did. And I think it's a testament to the fact that this cleanse is very doable and like that my willpower is just on point.
The willpower is real.
The willpower is real. So that's a wrap on the cleanse life. I know a lot of you are also doing it. I'm not trying to make everyone do it. I really needed to reset my system. Mm. And also I feel like now, one, I don't want to undo the progress that I've done, but I've taken away so many things from this
Your
cleanse.
Diet.
Like, first of all, I think I'm going to go into just one coffee a day. Like, I think having withdrawn from caffeine, like, I lowered my tolerance.
I agree.
Also, like, I'm going to try and do some sort of modified version where I'll have a smoothie in the morning. So I'll get that spinach. And I was getting really hydrated on the cleanse, like so much water and good nutrients in my smoothie. So I'm going to incorporate that into my diet. But it really just gave me an appreciation for fresh food. Like, I'm not really mm-hmm. craving what I usually would crave. Just sit down like with a bag of pretzels, like dry.
Cannot relate. Had McDonald's yesterday. Yeah.
No,
okay.
No. McDonald's is fresh food.
Agree more.
And shockingly, it has given me an appreciation for fruit.
Okay. So you know what's so crazy? Like, the fact that you don't like fruit is shocking to me. Because, like, honestly, it's not better than, like, you know, chips. But fruit is, like, not the worst food in the world.
There's just, I now fuck with a few more fruits than I did before. Like, a few days on the cleanse towards the end, I saw that I could have unsweetened peanut butter. So I had apples with peanut butter. And it was just, like, so delectable.
That's a fire snack.
It was so delicious. And I think that's something I'll incorporate into my life. And what? That's better than me going for a bowl of salt and vinegar chips.
So a little while ago, you mentioned that there's a book. I just feel like I forgot to interject. You mentioned that there's a book that goes along with your cleanse. You can get it on Amazon.
Yeah, no, I did say that.
That's so crazy that, because like Amazon's such like a boutique online website.
No, and they let you build a cart where you could add other books.
Right, which is crazy. I just find it strange that like this little small website would have your book and my book out one motherfucking week from today. Girl with no job, the crazy beautiful life of an Instagram thirst monster. Also, I just have an update because I did speak to my editor yesterday, because I know I told you guys like in the middle of the hard copy book there is like 20 photos. I don't want to spoil it, but I did find out that if you have the Kindle version, there is digital versions of the photos, not in the middle but at the end of the book. So don't worry if you bought the Kindle version, you will have a copy of the photos, but they won't be as beautiful as they are in the hardcover, but you still get it. Just nonetheless, I wanted to update everyone. And I just wanted to update everyone, like, I don't know, I'm just like about to be an author, you know? I think it's kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy. So with a week to go, do you have anything that you want to do, like, to tease or excite or delight?
I'm going to do it on my Instagram story. You gave me a good idea. Like, every week for
you
the last...
You don't want to do it on the toast?
No, because I haven't decided, like, which excerpt I want to read, and I would actually like to get, you know, feedback. Like, what do people want to hear? But yes, on my Instagram stories, like every week for the last couple weeks, I've been doing like giveaways or reveals of like, you know, different parts of the book. And today is my last one. I'm like kind of feeling nostalgic, but it's my last Tuesday to reveal something about the book before the book actually comes out. And it doesn't need to be revealed because you guys are going to be reading it. So I'm going to be doing a dramatic reading, an excerpt on my Instagram stories later today. So just make sure you're following and maybe send me a DM of what do you want to hear? And what's an excerpt? How long do I read? Like a chapter?
No. I think just like a short, like maybe start at the beginning of a chapter and then like stop where like the thought ends, like a few paragraphs.
Okay.
Also, I think that you should just open like to a random page.
You choose a page.
Okay.
No, just say a page number.
82.
Sounds like a good one. 82, 77, 79, 81. Okay. Oh, this is the chapter on like my very short-lived dating life before I met Ben, and then how I met Ben, and then like getting married, say yes to the dress, torture, being like bridezilla, the worst bride ever.
Just give us a sentence.
Okay. Okay, this was my first kiss. It all started with my first kiss.
This sounds like a perfect excerpt.
His name was Maverick, and he was fine as hell. We were in the seventh grade, and I hated him. Literally despised. He was a little bit shy, but also a dick. My middle school was very, very small, with only about 30 kids in each grade. There were only two good-looking boys, Maverick being one of them. He had that pale complexion that turned bright red when he was embarrassed or nervous, which was really cute. A big group of us were hanging out at Maverick's house one weekend when we decided to play 7 Minutes in Heaven, the classic hookup game that pairs up two kids and sends them into a dark closet for 7 minutes to hopefully make out. And wouldn't you know it, I was paired up to go into the closet with Maverick. That would, like, be a good place to end, but I want to keep going. The second we got... That's, like, by the way, if that's not me, like, in a sentence, like, this would be a good place to end, but I'm going to keep going. The second we got into the closet, I was hoping we'd kiss. I had seen enough young adult movies to know that this was going to be a pivotal moment in my adolescent life. I didn't want to fuck it up. We kissed in that dark, musty closet, and I literally fell in love with him on the spot. It's true what they say. Kids secretly love the kids they openly hate. That kiss opened up my floodgates. I was head over heels in love with Maverick. But back in school, he continued to be a dick. Nothing had changed for him. Shockingly, he hadn't had the same change of heart that I had. At that age, boys are just not emotionally mature enough to understand the inner workings of a seventh grade girl's mind. My secret crush was tearing me up. After school, I'd wait for him to instant message me. But he never did. Damn. That's fucking sad.
Yeah, that's sad.
But it's a happy ending, the chapter. So
if make you want sure to find out what happens with Claudia and Maverick, stay tuned. girlwithnojob.com/book.
That is the spoiler alert that we needed.
Yeah.
So what other personal updates? I mean, I just watched so much godforsaken television that I want to talk about. Like, I watched a lot of Lost, and then I started Bling Empire, which honestly I need you to watch.
Okay.
And of course, The Bachelor was on last night, so we'll do that in our TV recap.
I have more personal updates to share with the class because I started Downton Abbey, and that was really like my weekend. I'm on season 3 now, and it's just...
Wow, that's fast.
It's just fantastic, as I knew it would be, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Like, it's one of those shows that's like incredible, and so to have that all in front of me is just so exciting.
And you're such a Downton girl, like, I don't know why.
Yeah, but I have to thank Bridgerton for getting me into that mood,
that headspace.
And so Bridgerton is set in like the 1800s, maybe like 1820s, and Downton Abbey is like 1920s, so it's really interesting to see how much changes in a century and also what stays the same. Like, there are so many things that I wouldn't have maybe understood if not for Bridgerton. Like, they talk about they're going to London for the season. And we don't see that. They just come back however many months later. And I'm like, oh, I know what happens in London for the season. Like, we're gonna promenade, you know? Like,
is that what they do?
Yeah, that's what happens in Bridgerton, the season.
Oh, the season is in London.
In Bridgerton, it's all about the season.
Yeah, in London.
In London.
But then they go to their country homes, like...
And Downton Abbey is the country home. So in Downton Abbey, they're like, we're going to London for the season.
And oh.
And I'm like, oh, I know what that is.
And so what do they do at the country home? Just chill?
Oh, it's just so fantastic. Dinners every night.
Farm Chemin vibes.
Farm Chemin vibes. And there's just so much drama.
Need a palace. Need a palace.
Yes. And so... And then also, like, us being 100 years from when Downton Abbey was, it's just really an interesting lens into how much we've changed.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And then also my other personal update, since I finished the cleanse, and I was just, while I was cleansing, I was just so excited to cook. And so I made two recipes from Ina Garten's Modern Comfort Food Cookbook, Barefoot Contessa. First, I made penne arrabbiata, and I subsequently found out that I don't like arrabbiata sauce.
Neither do I, but I've, like, spoken to you, like, 4 times about your arrabbiata, and you say it so weird.
What,
like,
am I supposed to say?
You said penne arrabbiata, like, you literally...
I pronounce every syllable.
It's penne arrabbiata.
Okay. Well, I didn't know.
It's spicy.
In the book, it just looks like a delicious red sauce, and I thought I had, you know, I assumed I'd had it before. It's extremely spicy, and...
It's nothing of the sort.
I didn't like it.
I don't like it either.
I ate as much as I could. And I don't think I made it wrong, but
arrabbiata is not like a pomodoro. It's not just like a standard thing.
I just thought I was making a delicious sauce and I wasn't. Then I made her broccoli and kale Caesar salad, where I made my own Caesar dressing and I made my own croutons. And I thought that, no offense, Ina, her Caesar dressing recipe calls for too many anchovies. I could, like, smell the anchovies in my salad. It kind of ruined it for me.
Well, you could just take them out. Like,
no. Like,
in the blender. You could just do less.
Of course, next time I'm going to do half the amount of anchovies, but, like, it kind of ruined my salad.
Yeah.
So, like, it was kind of a bust, even though I'm proud of myself because I think I made everything correctly.
Yes. No, I watched it. We were on FaceTime, and it's an amazing feat when I literally ate McDonald's and the Chinese food for dinner, and I've truly never been in a better place in my life.
No, like, and I'm jealous that you had a satisfying meal, whereas I just, like, was on my feet for hours
and doing
yesterday.
Dishes.
Oh, my God, the dishes.
The dishes. Like, so, that's what Ina does not take into account, because Ina probably has a live-in housekeeper.
Yeah, and she probably has, like, two dishwashers, which is what I needed, because I had to do one load.
That is where I draw the line. Yeah. Like, I will literally throw out the dishes instead of cleaning them. Like, I cannot do that.
Yeah, also, so I just wanted to ask the toasters, because now I'm starting to worry that maybe Ina and I don't have the same palate, and that I should get a different cookbook of someone who's, like, a little less, you know, fancy.
No, like, to be honest, it's one thing to appreciate Ina from afar, but it's another to, like, bring her into your home and, like, into your dishes. I don't know if that's really, like, the move. Honestly, I feel like you'd be way better off getting, like, a kosher cookbook.
I have a kosher cookbook, but those recipes wouldn't put meat and dairy together, whereas I would have meat and dairy together.
So you're, like, limiting yourself even though you don't need to.
Yeah. So I just, if anybody has a cookbook that they love that just makes, like, recipes for the perfect pasta sauce, the perfect mashed potatoes.
Not the perfect, like, classics. The basic. Yeah.
Yeah, the classics. Like, I don't need anything too fancy. So let me know what you guys think. I'll still go with Ina. I just, maybe even a different Ina cookbook that's, like, this is, like, her, whatever, 10th cookbook. So I'm sure she's trying to get crazy with her recipes.
She does back to basics on Barefoot Contessa. She probably has a back to basics.
She does have a back to basics cookbook. So maybe that's what I should
there.
Get. Okay.
Well, I do think.
I mean, we could continue with the personal updates because I'm not going to lie. The story's, like, they could wait.
I don't have any personal updates except for the fact that I just, like, ate like shit all weekend, drank like a fish, and watched a bunch of TV that I'm going to talk about in the TV recap segment.
Okay. Well, then I guess without further ado, we could get into the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And while that may be true, I would just like to take a moment to let everyone know that today's sponsor is Love Book Online. And Valentine's Day is coming up, so love is in the air. And so is Lovebook, a personalized gift that helps people express feelings that might be difficult to say out loud. Most customers use a Lovebook to revisit their fondest memories or to list the reasons why they love someone. Lovebooks are completely customizable, though, and people can use them however they like. So Valentine's Day is coming up, or just any birthday or anniversary of someone you really appreciate and who would appreciate a sentimental gift, Lovebook Online is so cute, so sweet, and really is the perfect gift for someone who, like, material items just, like, don't really... they just don't work anymore, you know? Users can create characters in the book that look just like themselves and the recipient with all the features that make them unique. They can even choose their favorite hairstyles and outfits. While customers have the option to personalize each page as much as they like, with the express option, you can create a complete book in just a few minutes. Love books are the perfect gift for any occasion, but especially for anniversaries, birthdays, and of course, Valentine's Day. Visit lovebookonline.com/toast to receive a special 20% discount for our listeners. Again, that's lovebookonline.com/toast. That's the link you have to use to get the special 20% discount just for the listeners of The Morning Toast. Check it out. That's lovebookonline.com/toast.
Love it. Okay, first story, the big news of the day. Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas split, says a source. Quote, they are in different points in their lives.
Okay, I'm going to make an analogy, and you tell me if you see this at all.
Okay.
Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck, like, as a couple, like, they are tie-dye.
Oh, I was going to say, they are 2020. And, like, it's like, the year ended and so did they.
Yeah, like, don't care, really not at all. Like,
takes me back to, like,
To March. When we were wearing tie-dye and, like, we were so naive to everything that was coming. Like,
yes.
Tie-dye is just, like, symbolic of things that trigger me. And Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck, like, I remember sitting in our old studio being like, we love this cover. Like, literally, my priorities have so shifted from then. Like, I cannot allot one more brain cell to this couple. Like, I saw the cardboard cutout, like, drama.
The cardboard cutout went in the garbage.
Yeah, like, his trash got taken out, and, like, the trash man was holding up his big life-size Ana de Armas cutout.
Which we had reported on back when they got it. I guess it was, like, a joke for the paparazzi.
Well, they're so thirsty. Their whole relationship was so fake. Like, I'm sure that that garbage man photo was also staged.
That's so crazy.
So I, like, read Ben somewhere. Affleck,
like, he is probably, he's an A-list actor. Yes. And I think that she's A-list as well. And, like, bound, like, on her way to being one of, like, the
permanent
greatest movie stars in our time. And the fact that they do stuff like that.
It's disgraceful.
It's disgraceful.
And I did also read somewhere that the man taking out the garbage was Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's disgraced younger brother. So all of this is just, like, so messy. And, like I said, I've allotted too many brain cells to these two people who are just like playing with us, you know?
I don't know if they were playing with us. I do feel like they were in a real relationship.
Yes.
But it also feels like now that the cameras went down and their movie probably was done shooting and now it's time for the press for the movie, they're breaking up.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel a little played. That's
no,
all.
Definitely I feel used.
Yeah. And I did feel like I know you didn't, but I had a ship for them.
No, I definitely didn't.
I thought they were such a cute couple.
Me too.
And I thought they could be great.
I thought they were like a cute couple, but I was definitely not like shipping them, like putting my hard time, energy, money, like into a boat.
When I first heard about them, I shipped so hard. And then everything else was kind of annoying, but like, I thought maybe the pop, like, you know, it was everyone else making them annoying. Like, they're just trying to leave their house and get Dunkin' Donuts.
Right. The paparazzi and the media have a way of doing that. Like, is this person annoying or is the media just making them annoying? And that's, we've definitely
making
struggled.
Making them seem annoying.
We've definitely struggled with that with, like, Chrissy Teigen. And I think we came to the conclusion that Chrissy Teigen is actually not annoying.
Yeah.
The people who write about her are really fucking annoying.
Yeah. So they've called it quits after nearly a year together. They said that she broke it off, quote, a source tells People. Their relationship was complicated, and it doesn't want to be in Los Angeles-based, and Ben obviously has to since his kids live in L.A.
Mm.
So it seems like... But
okay,
I,
that's like an actual reason.
Yeah, they're saying that it was something mutual and completely amicable. They're at different points in their lives. There is deep love and respect there. Ben wants to continue to work on himself. He has three jobs lined up, and he's a solid father at home.
That's good.
They're both happy with where they are in their lives.
I really want the best for Ben Affleck emotionally in terms of his family, and mostly because I love Jennifer Garner so much. But I want success and prosperousness for Ben Affleck. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. Also, Ana de Armas followed up the breakup with a new haircut. I don't know if you saw
I did see the brave choice in Chop.
Yeah, I figured you would have some thoughts about it.
Well, like, this is the thing. When you're literally the most gorgeous girl in the world and, like, you cut your hair, like, it does not make a difference.
Yeah.
And this is one, you know, bad haircut because it's making a small difference. She's still literally the most gorgeous girl in the world. But, like, imagine how beautiful you have to think you are to confidently walk into a barbershop and be like, yo, give me this chop, middle bangs, bowl choppy cut. Bowl cut. Like,
it's like just, the kids from Nothing to See Here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I literally, like, that is the, I'm always working on my confidence. I really am. And, like, that's the level of confidence I want to have where I would literally walk into Supercuts and be like, give me the bowl cut special, knowing that I'm going to leave the place being as gorgeous as I always was.
It. Yeah.
Maybe even more gorgeous. Like, that's an admirable level of confidence. And I think that's what we should all work towards when we're working on ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. And she does still look adorable with the haircut.
No, she's literally the cutest girl alive. Like, it's not fair.
No, it's not.
And, like, no joke, like, that is a fucking terrible haircut. And if anyone else got it, I'd be, like, roasting them. But I don't know. She's just, like, so pretty. Like, I don't know. Thanks for, like, making yourself, like, bringing you down to my level. Like, I appreciate it.
Totally. Well, I look forward to leaving these two in 2020.
I'm triggered by them. And you know what? I actually really like a lot of Ben Affleck's work. I mean, Jersey Girl is, like, such a stellar movie, even though I don't think people would consider that his best work. I would. But when it comes to his dating life, like, after the Jennifer Garner stuff, and then he was with the nanny, like, and then the SNL writer, like, I don't know. He kind of bothers me.
He's
like,
messy.
In terms of dating, like, I want stability for him. Like, go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
But love his work.
Yeah. I think we had hoped that he had found it, but no.
No, and honestly, now I think Ana de Armas can do better. She should date Brad Pitt, like, for real.
Oh, my God, yeah. I look forward to seeing who they each date next as both eligible single people now.
I agree with 50% of that. Like, I just don't care what Ben Affleck does, but, like, I'm waiting with bated breath to see who Ana de Armas chooses next.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it could literally be anyone. Like, imagine being, like, the most beautiful belle of the ball in Hollywood, like, any guy you want.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, hello, call me. Like, exciting.
Exciting. Well, when one ship crumbles, another ship sets sail. Michael B. Jordan and Lori Harvey
just gonna bring this up.
Are packing on the PDA in St. Bart's on a literal ship.
And they just are looking like they're having the time of their lives on this trip. Like, these gotta get to St. Bart's.
You guys, these pictures are, like, forever in my mind.
Me too.
They will live in my mind rent-free.
They remind me of the level of iconism. Whatever, that those Meghan and Harry photos were when they were in the rain on their last royal actual official outing at that, like, movie premiere or whatever. And the paparazzi took this, like, stellar photo of them in the rain and the umbrella and the lights. It was just, like, so glamorous. Like, that was, like, that'll be in, like, time.
Yeah, but the difference is, like, that was posed. Like, they knew there was a camera lens right in front of them. Where this is, like, candid. Or even if they know the paparazzi's there, they're still, like, on a surfboard, on a jet ski. And, like, these pictures just...
Natural.
They're... stellar.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, the couple was photographed vacationing on a mega yacht in the Caribbean where they appear to be having a blast while partaking in water sports. In the photos, Lori can be seen sitting behind Michael B. Jordan as he drives a jet ski. They were also spotted surfing and swimming. They're also like on the deck of the boat. Like,
yeah.
They're also like on a dock. Surfboard. He's just like looking at her. It's
We'll post the photos on our Instagram, but I agree, like, these photos just, like, really spoke to me, and ever since she's been, like, publicly dating Michael B. Jordan, I follow her on Instagram, and, like, she's, like, no doubt, like, one of the most beautiful girls, like, on the planet. Like, it's, like, I don't know who's more of the catch. I kind of, like, obviously you want to say Michael B. Jordan because he's, like, this famous, like, man of the moment, like, everyone loves him.
Sexiest man alive.
But I don't know, like, Lori Harvey's literally, like, a bachelorette. Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like she's more of the catch than he is.
Yeah. I think they're both so catchy.
Catchy vibes, for sure. Happy for them.
Really happy for them. And I just think if anybody is very upset about Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas, like,
we can find peace.
We can find peace in knowing that we have a new ship. It is out to sea in the Caribbean, and it's going jet skiing.
And this is just, like, a powerful young Hollywood couple. Like, we needed this in 2021 so badly. Like, thank you, Michael, and thank you, Lori. Like, you don't even know, like, us pop culture deviants. Like, we just needed this hardcore.
Yes, for sure. So
thank you for doing the work that you do.
Some good news of the day. Next story, Kelly Clarkson is saying that celebs were really mean after American Idol.
You know what? Every now and then, Kelly Clarkson speaks out on, like, celebrity culture and, like, how she's kind of been, like, a misfit all these years. And I find it fascinating. The last time she did it was when she was on Watch What Happens Live.
Mm-hmm.
And now I guess she's doing it again. I haven't heard this yet.
This is really fascinating. Kelly Clarkson didn't have the easiest transition into fame, but Jennifer Love Hewitt was a huge help.
Oh, wow.
She thanked Jennifer Love Hewitt for her kind words during her stint on American Idol in 2002 on Thursday's episode of The Kelly Clarkson Show.
Which ratings are just through the roof. We're so happy for you, Kelly.
Kelly said, quote, "You probably don't remember this, but it stuck with me for so long, almost 20 years now. But right after, you have no idea I'm about to say this and you probably don't remember, but it was at some kind of MTV Awards or something or VMAs or something. I don't know what it was, but you ran up to me, and it was right when, like, the final three of Idol, and we were just so slammed and everything was happening in, like, a whirlwind, and people were really mean to us because we're from a talent show and it was the first season." She said, like, "Everyone was so rude to us on the carpet at the show. It was so bad. It was a horrible experience, and you came up to me and ran up to me out of nowhere and were like, 'Oh my gosh, I'm really rooting for you.'" And then she gave her some really good, like, famous person advice. She said, "Please keep the ones you love so close, and it'll end up being about a few people in your life, unfortunately, but this business can be really hard, and just remember to keep those people who really love you, and you just gave me this advice that was really, really kind in such an unkind time for me personally. So thank you so much. It meant the world to me."
That is so sweet. And I just, like, it makes me angry to imagine a world where, like, people disrespect Kelly Clarkson. Like, of course now she's a queen, but she's right. Like,
no, I'm sure it was the first season of American Idol.
There was no Voice, no X Factor. Like, it was like, who are these freaks?
Yeah. And they're on the red carpet and you just don't, you never know which way they're going.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people felt like they didn't need to be kind to her.
Who were the top three? It was obviously Kelly and Justin. And then who was number three?
I don't know.
Did Kelly and Justin,
my memory doesn't stretch that far,
ever date? Like, officially? They had that iconic movie.
I think they, like, you know, fueled the rumor mill. But I don't think they were dating.
No. And I think now probably one of the greatest, as a pop culture fanatic, one of the greatest things we can experience is, like, a full circle moment for a D-list celeb. And that's Justin Guarini being, "It's the sweet one," on the Dr. Pepper commercials. A lot of people don't know that's him because he's not sporting his iconic curly hair. I believe they actually gave him a wig. But yes, the Diet Dr. Pepper commercials are Justin Guarini from season one, American Idol, and the famous movie that kind of reflects a porno from Justin to Kelly. Such a good movie.
So good.
And by the way, I've said this on the toast before, maybe even on the breast, so it was a while ago, but if you watch From Justin to Kelly and you just imagine that every time there's a man and a woman in a room alone together, like, they're going to start fucking, like, it literally is such a porno. Like, the set, the wardrobe, the acting, like, it is pornographic. Like, you have to watch it. It's honestly, like, the worst movie of all time.
We should choose Zephyr Toast movie of the week.
100%.
They should remake From Justin to Kelly, but with, like, a new, like, if it
from
was
Olivia to Joshua.
No, where it's like Gabby Barrett and her husband, who was also from the talent competition.
But they're too religious, and that movie was kind of risque.
No, I know, but, like, someone, like a couple that dates from a talent show, like, make it from, what's her husband's name?
Cade.
Kate?
Cade.
Cade. From Gabby to Cade.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that's going to be a hit.
I think it would be so good. And I know one person who would watch it.
Margo. Oh,
two. Yes, two. We have two fans.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, Justin to Kelly definitely needs, like, a 2020, like, reboot. We have all these stupid-ass reboots. Like, give us the one we actually want.
I so agree.
From Justin to Kelly.
Okay, next story. Jamie Lynn Spears tells Elon Musk that her Tesla is a, quote, secret cat killer, as she talks about tragically running over multiple family pets in a new video. The 29-year-old actress recently revealed that she has accidentally run over numerous family pets with her Tesla vehicle due to its nearly silent design. She said someone's got to let Elon Musk know that the Tesla is a secret cat killer, and it's a problem we've really got to fix, she pleaded in an Instagram story. She said, we have now lost, I don't even want to tell you how many cats, because they don't hear the Tesla crank and unfortunate things happen.
Wait, explain to me the part when the cats are dying.
So the car is starting, but it's a silent motor, so the cats don't hear it, they don't move, and they get run over.
So the cats are, I just need more explanation, because when we were kids, one time, there was a cat
In the engine,
because I guess it's, like, super warm, and, like, a stray cat can, like, I guess that's, like, a thing. Like, cats, like, go into the hoods of cars. I don't know how it works. But, like, it happened to us once, so, like, I know that it's a thing. But, and then we couldn't turn the engine on because the cat was stuck. We had to, like, call the fire department. Like, it was a whole drama. But so is she saying that the cats are in the engine already?
No.
So when she starts, she's running them over.
No, like, yes. The cats are in the driveway. They're in the yard. The car starts. Usually, if
so, that's the driver's fault.
No, but if the car starts, usually, and an animal hears it, they'll run from it because it's a loud noise. But the Tesla, I guess part of its feature is that it has a silent motor. The cats don't know the car is starting. They don't move. They get run over. Yeah, she's running over cats.
So I think there needs to be a small bit of accountability from the person running over the cats.
Yeah.
This is a crazy story.
Yeah. No,
I should say, love Jamie Lynn. She is a toaster.
No, I
love
know. Her. And she also, so E! News had posted this, and she commented on their post being like, that's not what I said. That's not what I meant. Like, you guys are, you know.
Taking this out of context.
Taking this out of context. So I feel like that's not what she said. That's not what she meant. But I also just would wonder, has this happened to other people? Like, is this an ongoing issue where people with Teslas they accidentally run over their animals?
So I don't think so, because, like, when this story became big, people were, like, responding to the story, not because they related to it, but because they're like, what? Like, I don't think it's, like, a huge problem. I really don't. I mean, you never know, because I don't have a Tesla or a cat, and we know I'm never going to get the latter. But I don't think this is a worldwide issue, because Elon would have addressed it.
Yeah. So, I mean, but let us know if this is something you've experienced. That would be really sad. It's at the end of the day, like, a really sad story.
So when I was talking about the story from our childhood, did we ever get the cat out of the car?
Yes. I don't think it ended in tragedy, because I think that would have scarred us. So yeah. I think it all worked out in the end.
So they just, like, climb into, like, the insides of the car from the bottom?
I'm unfamiliar with the behavior of cats. You're asking the wrong
person. Yeah, I know. This is the wrong show.
I'm unfamiliar with the behavior of cats and cars.
So. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Very true. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
But it can't be the fifth and final story that's brought to you by Everlane, right?
Oh, but it is.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Wait, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. What are the odds?
Stranger things have happened.
Building your wardrobe is a continuous journey of finding what makes you feel the most you. This year, discover fresh favorites that do more than fit your style and shape. Everlane's everyday essentials fit your resolution to help make a difference in the world. So Everlane is just truly a one-stop shop for clothes that are everything of the sort. I have leggings, slippers, turtlenecks, such high quality, reasonable prices. They're made super well, and they're just, like, so cute. They also have great jeans. If you're searching for the favorite pair of jeans, the kind that you wear all week and hope no one notices and you never wash after 5 days, Everlane is it. From skinny to relaxed, slim to athletic, you can find the perfect cut that fits your form just right. You can also choose your stretch level. Vintage style rigid, original with just a hint of stretch, or the body-hugging authentic stretch, which is what I have, which is fabulous. All of the jeans are made with certified organic cotton at the world's cleanest denim factory with zero landfill waste. With all the new year hustle and bustle, treat yourself to Everlane loungewear for the comfiest downtime ever. And you can get a solid start to the year with dependable everyday essentials, from great denim to super soft loungewear. You can shop the pieces for any to-do, including accessories, comfy base layers, lightweight activewear, and more. They have simple designs that complement your wardrobe. They are premium quality products with a transparent, more affordable price. Everlane partners with the best in ethical factories in the world for a fit that you can feel good about. Go to everlane.com/toast and sign up for 10% off your first order plus free shipping. And you can get easy returns within 60 days of your shipping date. But you got to go get that 10% off at everlane.com/toast. Sign up at everlane.com/toast and you'll get that 10% off. Check it out at Everlane, where we're where everything is everything of the sort.
Love it. Okay, our fifth and final story. Justin Timberlake reveals that he had a child over the summer, and he is sharing the name of this child, a son named Phineas.
Cute name, cute couple, cute baby, happiness.
Yes, the actor opened up about life as a dad of two during a virtual appearance on the Ellen DeGeneres show set to air on Monday. He said, quote, well, so I guess it aired yesterday, quote, he's awesome and so cute. Nobody's sleeping, he quipped, but we're thrilled. We're thrilled and couldn't be happier. Very grateful. I mean, I'm thrilled for them that they were able to have a child and it really remain
a secret. Hush.
That must be nice for them. I think Phineas is a super cute name and I'm so happy for them.
I want to talk about two things here. The first I want to talk about is Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake. I like kind of don't like them as a couple anymore. Like ever since those pictures
the
of
hand-holding.
Him, the hand holding in New Orleans, like I've just gotten a weird vibe from him. And also, don't you feel like for a few years, Justin Timberlake was doing the absolute most at all time, like trying to make himself like the next Michael Jackson in the Super Bowl. And then he had got like the Vanguard Award. Like he was just like doing the most song with Jay-Z. And now he's like literally disappeared off the face of the earth. Hasn't released a song in years.
Yeah, I just feel like he took the temperature and maybe he listened to the show and was like, oh, I need to take a step back.
Well, because
maybe I need to go work on Bad Teacher, the sequel, if right. I want people to love me again.
Because he then went on that tour at Madison Square Garden and like all around, what was called
Man in the Woods.
Yeah, something like that. That had like record low sales. So I think he actually realized like the people don't want what you're selling. Like, please go home to your family.
Like reevaluate.
And that's what he did. And so yeah. I just wanted to like mention that like, I appreciate that because I feel like for like a year we were on the show, like he was always in the news just like bothering us because I find him so annoying and he's just like gone and it's really appreciated.
Yeah, no, it is appreciated and absence makes the heart grow fonder and I wasn't going to say anything negative about him today on the show.
Did because, we?
No, but usually when his name comes up, like, I can't help myself.
No, I agree. When I saw this headline, I didn't, like, immediately rolled my eyes. Like, I waited, like, 5 minutes, and then I did.
Yeah, so I think that's what they call growth.
Yes, I think so, too. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about this interview, which someone I also went from hearing about all the time to never hearing about her again, Ellen. She, like, has been really quiet. I feel like it's such an interesting, like, case study, like, what's happening to her. I don't know how her ratings are, but I feel like she's just kind of, like, more pulled back, more reserved. I mean, I don't watch her show, but I'm sure her interview style has changed immensely from, like, so condescending to, like, maybe, I don't know, welcoming to people on her show. Mm-hmm. I just haven't heard her name in so long. I know she had COVID, but she's good now. She's back in studio. But, like, what's up with Ellen?
I feel like I've been seeing her around, like, in the news cycle. I just don't really, like, click it.
Yeah, but it's not this news cycle that it was over the summer. Like,
no, of course not. But I think that like that's what she prefers, just to go back to work.
Of course.
And
at some point, like, end her show on a good note.
Yeah.
She couldn't go out like this.
No.
It would be a disgrace to her legacy. No. Okay, let's dive into the TV recap segment. Before we do, obviously, The Bachelor, I want to talk about Bling Empire, which is this show on Netflix. It's a Netflix reality show. Very similar vibe to Selling Sunset, just in terms of like the style. And it's basically like it reminds me of Shots of Sunset. It's like focused on a subculture in LA, lots of wealth. And this is like the crazy rich Asians of Los Angeles. And they really found like a motley crew of people. Honestly, I feel like one of my critiques of the show is that there's so many castmates and it's hard to keep track of them all, especially when a lot of them are not interesting, like whatsoever. There is this girl, Sherry, who at first I thought was interesting, but she just ended up like being boring. She was pregnant and gave birth. So every time we see her, she doesn't film outside of her house. But she had a really interesting backstory, how like she grew up and was signed to like Sony Music Asia, and she was gonna become like, and when you see her, she has the exact look of like a K-pop star, and she was gonna become like the biggest superstar, and her parents like didn't allow, and now she like moved to the States and like had a baby. But there's a lot of people who like I just don't find interesting, and she is one of them. Jamie is another one of them. But what I find so interesting about the show, first of all, they've really stumbled upon some absolute gems in their casting. This woman, Anna, she is Karen Huger meets Marisol Patton meets Mama Elsa. Like, she is just so rich. She's Japanese Russian. She has a really interesting background. Lives in LA, is so, so, so wealthy, and is really kind of like the grand dame of this, you know, they said there's a very small group of like wealthy Asians in LA, and like everyone knows each other. They have like events all the time, and she's kind of like the grand dame because she's just like one of the older ones, and she's one of the wealthiest, and she's always throwing parties. But there's kind of like this new girl on the scene who, her name is Christine. Her husband is a plastic surgeon, and her husband is everything of the sort. And she is like, in terms of like looks, like everything of the sort, like the house, the cars, the bags, like it's just insane. And she's really gunning for Anna for that top spot. And like, you know that Christine, like, not a day goes by where she doesn't think about how she can outsmart Anna and like become like the top queen. Whereas like Anna's just like in her palace, like doesn't even think of Christine ever. Like it bothers Christine so much. Like the two of them, it's an iconic fight. I can't stand Christine, but I do love the two of them. And they spend a lot of time on the show on other castmates like Kevin, who I just like don't care about. Kelly, who I just don't care about. And like, but Kelly is this other girl. She was actually married to like a very wealthy man before she moved to the States. And like literally it was like a Madoff situation, like everything was taken. She had no idea who she was sleeping next to. So she really like started fresh in LA and built her own company and is like so successful. And she's dating this guy who's like a out of work actor. He was the Red Power Ranger. So you don't know what he looks like because his face was covered. And he is, I think definitively, and I've watched a lot of reality television, perhaps the most toxic person I've ever seen on reality TV. Like he's abusive, like, and he's so outright, he does it on camera, like it's crazy, and he's just so insane. But like their storyline, like at first was interesting, but I find some of these characters to just be like so uninteresting, especially when we're sitting on gems like Anna and Christine. Like give me the Anna and Christine show, like that's what we need. Then there's another girl who is actually really interesting. They say she's like the Paris Hilton of Asia. Her name is Kim Lee, and she's like the female DJ. Like she's so famous, and she has such an interesting backstory, and she's kind of a bitch. Like what she did at Anna's house, you guys, was just like so disrespectful. Like she invites you over and like you go rummaging through her things.
By the way, it sounds like a fantastic show. I'm going to watch it when I finish Downton Abbey.
Okay, so I'll stop spoiling it.
Give away too much, yeah.
But all I want to say is like if you're ever walking through a department store or like a designer store and you see, like, of course, I understand people who like, you know, spend money on like designer bags, but you ever see those things like who is buying like designer t-shirts? Who is buying designer, like the most random like loungewear type things, pajamas? Like these are the people who buy them. Like nobody is wearing their pajamas at home, Louis Vuitton, everything, headband, scarf, sunglass, bikini, like everything is just Louis Vuitton. It's so crazy. And then one other thing that's worth noting about the show is it's obviously like the standard reality show template, but it's very strange in a lot of ways because it's on Netflix that it doesn't need to be censored. So there's quite a few scenes that I'm just like shook by. You know, the first is when they're at like a hotel rooftop just like having a day, and one girl isn't going to go swimming, and she's like, I forgot my bathing suit at home. And it was just like a lie. You know, you could tell she was lying. And then they throw her in the pool and they pick her up and she's wearing a dress and you see she's wearing underwear and a sanitary napkin. And they do not edit out the sanitary napkin.
What?
So you see like the wings like folded over the bottom of the underwear. It was just like so invasive. And I'm like, oh, of course she was lying, because she was like, my closet's so big, like I forgot to go to the other side to get a bikini. And like then we said like, no, you actually just have your period, but like you were lying. Like it was like really, it was really, they
That's
did her dirty.
That's not what I thought you were gonna say.
They did her dirty.
Yeah.
And then like Anna, who's the queen, she has like Dior come to her house so she could shop because she doesn't go to stores, and she's like putting on this shirt, and like she just like takes her shirt off and like puts on the other shirt, and like we just see her boobs. Like it's just crazy.
Like no censor.
No censor. No blur. Like call me like, you know, conservative.
That's just but not,
I'm just not used to it. To.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I kind of liked it.
Yeah, no, this sounds amazing.
It's so good.
Maybe I'll even start it like in the midst of Downton, because I don't like to watch these Downton Abbey episodes. Like if I can only watch like one and a half at a time, because it's just, I want to watch a whole stretch of them.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it's like very contrived. Like I wouldn't be surprised if maybe some of these people were like actors. Like I don't care. So good. And like the way they're like Christine, Jackie, you will die. She was like, do you know who like the oldest designer in Paris is? Like they're just like one upping each other with their richness. And Anna just like gives no fucks about Christine, but Christine like eat, breathes and sleeps like how to become Anna. Anna, I believe, is also part of the production. I think that they tapped her to like find the people, and she wasn't going to be on the show, but she's such a character that they like threw her in. So I think like she has a very favorable edit. She's like gives me like the vibe of like being the Patricia Altschul of the show.
Got it. Wow.
So it's just so good.
That sounds really great. Did you finish it?
No, I have like two more episodes. Then you're going to like want to follow them all on Instagram, like especially Christine. For sure. Like as she takes a private jet everywhere and has a photographer come with her everywhere, and like all of her designer. She just went to Aspen and like designer earmuffs, designer gloves, designer ski, designer jacket, like craziness with the photographer on the mountain. Like it's insane. You would love it. It's such a good show. Highly recommend.
Great.
Now,
The Bachelor. Okay.
So we ended last episode with a little bit of a cliffhanger, like a Sarah, okay? She was fine. She, like, got overwhelmed. And I did think a lot of the girls were being, like, kind of mean to Sarah when it came to her fainting. But as the episode progressed, I guess sometimes this happens on The Bachelor where, like, we don't know something because we can't feel the vibe.
Yeah, like, clearly she was getting on people's nerves before right. she fainted. And then to find out that she fainted because she was nervous, like, because she was... We didn't really find out. It wasn't like a
she already had a rose. Thing.
She had a rose. She just was like overwhelmed by the process. Like, I don't know. So it did sort of raise like a red flag. I thought Victoria like at first was being so hard on her.
Yeah, me too.
But like, wow, what Sarah did for Victoria in this episode, yes. Victoria should send her flowers.
100% because Victoria is mean, but she's usually on the wrong side of history. But when you're like, as a viewer, you're mad at Sarah and you have Victoria going in against your Sarah, corner. You're like, yes. Like, but I did think also at the end, like the girls took it way too far. Like,
yes.
And it wasn't like she can't. What I'm struggling with is feeling like, is Sarah genuine or is she literally an actress? Like, is she so sneaky? Because I felt like what she did.
I saw your poll and I don't think she's genuine, but I also don't think that sneaky is not the right word for her. I think that she's dramatic. I think that she is just like, I don't want to say selfish because like she's taking up all this time and it is like selfish, but it's not her job to like really care about the other girls' time. But it's just like she's just being like
brazen.
No, I don't. It's hard because she's just like crying and she can't even articulate like why she's having such a hard time. And it's like she went on the show. She went on one date with Matt and like it's too hard. It's too much. And it's like, but that's the show. So come right. on. Like,
and you can feel that way like when you're one of the top six. Like yeah. not when there's still 30 girls left, five more coming
she's
next week.
She's just being like so weak.
Yeah, I agree. And
but
don't
then,
get me wrong.
But
I
was, then it's like when you put on, when you factor in the fact that like her dad is
yes.
terminally ill and she is struggling with, I have these feelings for Matt and I really want to be here and I really want to see them through, but also like I might be missing time with my dad, and it's and I understand that push and that
of
pull,
of course,
but the decision you made, the decision to leave your dad like when you came on the show, and so I just feel like either I mean she made, and then she wound up leaving,
right.
So maybe sometimes you make a decision and it turns out to be the wrong
yeah,
one and
everyone's
you struggle
allowed
with
to change
it
their mind.
and then you go back on it. I just felt like it was all very emotional and the way she went about it was just all wrong. And there
yeah,
were so many times where it felt like she just wanted to, she was just going to get time with Matt and then she was just going to apologize to the girls and cry her way
right.
out of it.
Well, so, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, when she barged in on the group date, like, I got mad. I got mad for Katie. I got mad for the girls.
That's
like,
insane.
It's insane.
And that's why it's annoying that they're in, like, all in the same resort, because if they were,
yes,
it was a regular season, that could never happen.
So, and I totally understood their frustration. And then she was, like, hiding in the room. Like, okay, so I totally get why everyone's mad. Then she came down. It took her a while. She came down and she apologized. And even though I don't like take her as the most sincere person, the apology seemed real. Like she said, I'm really sorry. Like I was just like having a hard time. And they just wouldn't let it go. Like
because
a dog with a bone.
Because she was saying a lot of nothing. It's
no,
just
no,
like
but
when
she's like sitting there crying and it's like 15 girls going in on one girl. At the end of the day, like just give it up. Like
yeah, no,
you're not going to get what you want from her.
I agree. But when she came on the group date and she's like, I just want you guys to hear from me. And Victoria's like, we haven't heard anything. Like,
yeah.
I really appreciated that because like she was saying words, but she wasn't saying anything.
Right, of course. But then you see like she's struggling with her dad. And it was only like when Katie spoke to her that I think like the viewers at home like started to sympathize for her. But I did feel like it was a little bit of a pile on at the end. Like at the first, like, okay, get your answers from her. But then it's like, okay, we're not getting anywhere. Like you're going to keep just going after her. And then she's like in this room crying by herself and then like talking about her dad. And like Katie connected with that. It was just like really like the whole thing. I just like felt bad for her.
I know. But then when she went to Matt to tell him she was leaving, like I really thought she was going to wind up staying. And then I was like, okay, I'm done with
Me
her.
Me too.
She
now
stays.
I'm like, this is fake. But she actually
Because she left, like I'm fine with her. Like I feel badly for her. I think she had a really bad time.
I mean,
but
I
also feel like she came on the show, and I think a best case scenario, I'm gonna meet someone,
yeah.
and it's gonna be love, and I'm gonna it's going to be so worth it.
That it will have been worth it.
Worth it that I'm here. And she couldn't have had a better connection with Matt. So, like, it wasn't about that. Like,
yeah, and honestly, I think that if Matt wasn't really feeling her, he would have been courteous enough to send her home and not waste her time while her dad is, you know, dying.
Yeah, no, I think that he really, really likes her. And I think now it's annoying that she did leave, leaving this, like, open-ended question mark, you know.
I think she's going to come back.
I feel like she might come back too. Next week, 5 new girls come.
Oh my God.
I know. It's like Love Island, Casa Amor.
Like, just seriously kill me. Like, I can barely, I have to watch Drag Race where I have such a hard time keeping track of everyone because in and out of drag, they look so different and their names are so complex. And then I have to remember all the girls from The Bachelor, now 5 more. Like, I don't know how I'm expected to remember everyone's name.
Yeah, I don't think you're expected to remember everyone's name. I don't know all of Matt's girls, even though I think he has a great group of girls and I feel like there are a bunch who he feels really strongly about. And so that's exciting. But I also feel like Matt, I feel like people were really getting frustrated with him. Like, viewers were getting frustrated with him last night. And the fact that he was never a contestant on this show
is
really starting to show, like,
yes.
He can't see through the bullshit. He doesn't.
He sent, like, Marianne home. I don't think they had a connection, but that was sad. She, like, lost.
Yeah, that was really sad. I think he can't. He's being a frustrating bachelor because he doesn't know what it's like to be on the other side of it.
No, you are so right. I forgot that.
And as much as I like him so much, it's frustrating that it's not someone who has been in the house, who knows what, like, the villain looks like. And
yeah,
if you should trust women coming to you about other people and at what point. So It's become frustrating, but it's also, like, not even about Matt. Like, it's just about the girls.
It's not even about Matt. It's just about the girls. I totally agree. Kit was being so cute last night. Like, she was getting annoyed, and she had, like, some great one-liners, like, she real did. Singers. We had the one-on-one with Serena, who is just perfect. Like, I just was like, cut the cameras. Like, just go home together. Like, I really thought that was a great date. She's, like, a very, very sweet girl. But you know what? Matt gives me Tayshia vibes because they're both so nice to everyone. You're like, oh, you're in love with everyone. Whereas, like, a lot of times you can read the lead. You're like, oh, she's not feeling this, or he's not feeling this, or he's going to send her home. But with Matt, and I felt that way with Tayshia, I'm like, till the end, I literally had no idea who was going to win because Tayshia is so genuinely lovely to everyone. You're like, oh, she's in love with me.
Yeah, no, I feel that way. But it also is nice. It keeps you on your toes. But I do think Matt gives us, like, some indication. Like, when he leans in to kiss someone,
yes,
like, he likes that person. Whereas other times, like, it's, you know, the girl is leaning in more. So
he likes Rachel.
He does.
And she hasn't even had a one-on-one.
Oh my God, we need to talk about the date. The
group date.
Erotic novel date. So many things. First of all, the fact that Chris Harrison wrote a book, which we all knew he wrote a book, but, like,
called The Perfect Letter. I thought it was just, like, a Nicholas Sparks thing.
It is, but I guess it has, like, some porny scenes.
Erotica, yeah.
That's just something that we all needed to know.
No, I actually disagree. I think that I could have lived my whole life not knowing that.
And
Margot read the book.
The date was, like, it was uncomfortable to watch at times, but by the end, I thought that Victoria, like, was hysterical. I was laughing out loud.
We need the non-bleeped version. What did she say?
In addition to Sarah, like, really helping Victoria out this episode, she really helped herself with that at the end. Yes, queen.
Yes.
Like, she was really making fun of herself, and I just had a whole new outlook on her. And you could tell that the date really brought everyone together. It was, like, the ultimate icebreaker where it's, like, we're all going to be uncomfortable.
Yep.
We're all in the same boat of, like, we each have to do it. So even if I'm laughing at you, like, you're going to laugh at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was wound up being, like, such a great date for them all to be in. And that's why it was even more frustrating that Sarah interrupted
it.
Because I think it was who said, like, you ruined the vibe. We had a vibe going.
Wait,
and
they
you
were
ruined
flowing
it.
On a high. Like, they were all just, like, on this great, like, date level. And she just came crashing down when
she
arrived.
Which really bothered me because I feel like so many group dates, especially, like, in these resort seasons,
are so weird,
are so tense, and it's hard to get the ball rolling, and everyone was just having a great time, and it really was annoying.
Yeah. Also, on the group date, there was, like, 5 girls I did not recognize. Like, who is Kylie? Don't know her whatsoever. But there was a girl who I hadn't seen. Her name was Anna. She was wearing, like, a really cute brown dress with,
the
like,
copywriter.
Is she a copywriter?
I think so.
She went first.
Yeah.
I thought she was so funny, and it's so hard to go first. Like,
yeah.
I thought she was great. I wish she would get more airtime. I think she actually is, like, hilarious and, like, interesting.
Yeah, she seems like she has good, like, positive energy.
Yeah.
I think I saw people, like, are comparing her to Hannah Brown. They think that they look
like. Actually, they kind of do look like.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I feel like there's already so many girls, like, I cannot keep track of them, and now we're getting 5 more. Like, that's so annoying. That also makes me think, like, maybe it's like Matt told the producers, like, I don't think anyone here is going to be my wife. Like, and I want this to work. So they, like, fly in more girls.
No, I think honestly, The Bachelor saw how many people loved Love Island this summer. And they were like, let's copy their format a little bit.
That's a really good call.
Yeah.
Like, and like maybe the best call you've ever made. 100%.
Yeah, because that's what they do all the time. It's just new girls.
I find that annoying.
Yeah, I really think that Matt's wife is in the... I mean, we haven't met the new girls, but there are so many people that I think that he has like really strong connections with and so much respect for.
Rachel, Abigail, Serena.
Abigail, but she hasn't been on a date. And this happens a lot on The Bachelor, where the woman who gets the first impression, Rose, is not a front runner.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
Yeah, no, I think Rachel's a winner.
You do?
Like, I just, because she's literally the star of the show and she's been on like only group dates. Mm-hmm. And he, like, when they were on the group date and they got time together, like, he went in to kiss her like so fast.
Yeah.
I think she's a winner. Even though, like, Brie is my queen, like, I think she's like literally the most gorgeous girl I've ever seen in my whole life. Like, I literally follow, like, on my fake Instagram account, like, I follow a Brie Springs fan account.
Oh my God. That's really funny. I think it'll be real. Like, there's so many just like great choices. Agreed.
You know, and she kind of faded a little bit, but I think Mari also goes far.
Yeah, but she also is fading.
Yeah, she's fading.
But it's also because...
they haven't gotten dates.
They haven't gotten
a one-on-one. Rachel hasn't, but right, she's still...
But you can still, like, stand out in the group setting.
Yeah. No, I actually thought it was a pretty good episode. But I definitely feel the audience frustration with Matt. Like, he's starting to annoy me. Like, make some decisions. Like, be more decisive. Like, not just... like, you just go with the flow.
And
you
know, to show up to a date... her one-on-one check on the one person who's not being a team player and make out with her in bed and like not be able to stop kissing her right before your date with someone else, like,
so disrespectful.
It wasn't right.
I so thank you for bringing that up, because like, you know, I didn't remember, but I was like, first of all, that's so rude to Serena. Second of all, not only like are you like not with Serena, you're like literally in bed like on top of her. Like, it was really, really zelo kavod.
Yeah, I agree. But otherwise,
good episode.
Still going strong. Nima Cullen's looking beautiful this time of year. Oh my God,
it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Just gorgeous. And that house Matt has, like, gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a great setup.
Yeah, so much better. Like, La Quinta who?
La Quinta who?
That is our TV recap segment. If you're looking for more content on The Bachelor, our Snatchler is here for you. We have a podcast called The Snatchler on Toast News Network, which is our podcast network hosted by our little sister Margo, who is really like a Bachelor influencer. It's available, I think, today or tomorrow. Which one? It's supposed to be today, but we'll see if Margo's on time. But yeah, it's supposed to be today, so
she
look out for that.
Is.
She usually is. Look out for that, and yeah, anything
Are
else?
Are you on Mood this week?
Oh, I'm on Mood and Taste of Taylor. I think Taylor Strecker's comes out today. And tomorrow I'm on Lauren Elizabeth's podcast, Mood. And I have to say, I've been doing a lot of podcasts, radio, for like just being annoying, like press of my book. But
it's just called press. Like, you don't have to degrade yourself.
Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I'm so insecure. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's hard to break habits.
But in terms of the podcast with Lauren Elizabeth and the podcast with Taylor Strecker, two of the best interviews like I've ever done, just because like I would consider both of them like my best friends, like, so I felt so comfortable, and it was really deep. Like, Lauren's was really deep on mental health, and Taylor's was really deep on like cancellation. Like, Taylor has literally become like a punching bag for her problematic friends, like Stassi, me, and we just like, no, that's literally, she's always like having to make excuses for her friends, and it's honestly like a terrible position to be in. So we like go really deep on that, and I think that one comes out today. Mood with Lauren Elizabeth comes out tomorrow, and I really encourage you to listen to them. Like, I really think they were great.
Great, that's really exciting. I'm looking forward to listening and recording the Redheads with you next week. That's gonna
we made an appointment. We're gonna record the Redheads, you guys.
Yeah,
Redheads. The literary world is fucking quaking.
This is the collab of the century.
No, legit. Like, yeah. I mean, I know it's only January, but it's literally like the podcast/book collab of the year.
For sure.
Okay, like, should we wrap up?
No, I think that's all she wrote. I have a dentist appointment I'm excited about.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Love you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.